It's Sadie
and Kenzie,
and we are back with another podcast.
Woohoo!
And
today's topic is going to be being a good teammate.
Yes.
It's time for the circulator.
Anyways,
your boyfriend's now.
Okay.
That's off topic, Sadie.
My bad, guys. So, as we said, we're going to be talking about how to be a good teammate.
And we're going to specifically relate this to volleyball because that's a sport we both play.
Yes. And it's, like, a lot of people say there's no I in team, and that really, really relates to volleyball because there's six people on one tiny sport, and you, one tiny court,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you all depend on each other for, like, one main purpose.
Yeah, and exactly.
That's to, like, get the ball over the net and to win.
Yeah, we're going to be sharing some personal stories about our team from last season. And
just in general, like,
yeah,
what you, like, teammate 101, sort of.
Yeah, basically. That's what we're going to be doing. So, at our club, because we play at JJVA.
Jacksonville Juniors Volleyball Association.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. There is a sort of, like, unspoken rule on, like, being good to teammates and whatever, and I think that's it, like, in all sports, all clubs, wherever you go to. I mean, like, it does differ during the clubs on what, like, your unspoken rules of being a good teammate are.
Yeah.
And just difference between, like, coaching and your teammates and how well you guys get along, like, on and off the court.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best thing that comes of being a teammate is your attitude.
Yeah.
And your body language, because both of those things, like, really help, like, define you and make you stand out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if you're on the court, practice, a game, whatever, no matter what kind of, like, relationship you're talking about, sort of, like, if it's a setter-hitter, a passer-setter, like, just teammates, like, if the setter gave you a bad set and you just, and you're a hitter, and you just turn around, and you don't say anything to them, you don't give them any criticism, because any criticism is good criticism.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they won't know how to be better, how to be, or whatever, like, hey, I need it a little higher, hey, I need it a little lower. So if you straight up just ignore them, then that's not going to help your setter, you, or your team be good in the match.
I think that the first thing that we should talk about is body language and attitude, because that's something that really
hit us hard this past season.
Yes, definitely. I think what we have, and this is just, like, what I see in each other, our body language is pretty good. I mean, like, there's a difference between good body language and bad body language. Good body language is someone who's smiling, standing upright, like,
cheering,
having an overall, like, you can see that they're happy.
You definitely don't have an RBF.
If you have bad body language, yeah, you probably do have an RBF. You probably don't talk as much and you're quiet, but, like, in the way that, like,
you're not,
like,
helping anybody.
You're not helping anyone. You're wanting to be alone. You're pushing away other people.
Mm-hmm.
You get really mad easily.
Yeah.
And that's something that you really want to steer away from, because that can't, like, that doesn't just affect you, affects everyone around you. I think that's something that can really help a player grow, and I think that I saw this within myself, and it's something that I had to really, like, challenge myself to do this past season, is to be positive. And I think it really changes just, like, the team, like, because I know that whenever we, like, play good, it's because we're being positive. You know,
we're all working together
and we're enjoying the game, and you enjoy the game whenever you're positive.
And we're at the age, I feel like all ages, no matter where you are in your volleyball career, you're in your sports career, whatever, the reason you're playing is because you love it. No matter if you're club, middle school, high school, college, professionally, and the reason you're there is because you love the sport. You're obviously good at it, and if you love it, you should be positive when you're playing it.
Yeah.
And when you're positive, I think that you talk more, and there's more communication when everybody's up and having fun, And I know communication is key in volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching the pass, you're watching the set, you're watching the hitters, you're watching the setter. Is it not the setter, the server. Is it short? Is it deep? What are the people on the other side of the net doing? Where is the ball going? And communicating with your teammates is also a really big part in being a good teammate.
I definitely agree with that. I think that's something that coaches look into whenever they're like looking at players is, how do you deal with criticism and are you good at communicating?
Mm-hmm.
I think something that's really big, I think for hitters especially, because like I'm not a hitter, I'm a setter, but like I know that something that's really great for hitters and that really helps out everyone else is whenever you communicate with your setter.
Yes.
Because whenever you tell your setter, oh, like I can't, can we switch to this or can you fix this for me?
Yeah.
And it's really going to help you, like, become not only a better player on your own, but it's going to help you form relations,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to help you, like, bond with your team and just get better as a whole. I think that something that makes us really good together is that we communicate.
And we have a prime example of that. We were at AAU. First day, we, like, as a team, we played good, but I know as me as a middle hitter, it's hard to get set because the pass literally has to be perfect or else it's not going to work. And I wasn't getting set as much and we were running ones, which is a fast tempo, mm-hmm. Three-step approach, whatever, kind of set. And it just wasn't working for us. And even though that's what we've been doing all season, and even with the other setter, it wasn't working. So we were like, second day, let's switch it up. Let's do something different. Let's run a push because it's easier to track the ball because you're up in the air, you're finding the ball, and you can like sort of manipulate which way it goes. If you hit the left side of it, it's going that way. Right side, you're floating in the air, seeing where the passers are. Mm-hmm. I can see over the net, whatever. So we did that and it worked. I got set a lot more. I got more kills. My it just was working, and that was the communication was there. I was like, hey, we can't, sometimes you're like, let's run one. I was like, hey, it's not working, let's run the push. Or and when we hadn't run pushes a lot because I just didn't know how to do it. And but once we started running them, and I could tell you, I'm like, hey, push it out a little bit more. Hey, make it higher, make it lower, whatever. It really helped us in the end. So I think that
was I most definitely agree. And I think that whenever you do communicate, that the best thing to do is to put it in a more positive tone,
mm-hmm.
rather than a more aggressive tone, because some people can take it, like, I know that I'm pretty good at taking it, but some people can't, and you gotta make sure that, like, sometimes it is easy to get it in your own head and just, like, say what's off your mind, especially whenever it's a really tense situation on the court, if it's a close match or whatever.
Yeah.
But you do always need to be in the back of your head to be like, hey, I'm gonna put this, like, as nicely as I can
mm-hmm.
to my setter or to my passers or whoever you need to be telling, because then, like, number one, that's going to make you seem more approachable. So then, like, maybe your setter or your passer or your hitter will want to work with you more. And maybe in turn that can make, like, maybe that leads to you getting set more. Maybe that leads you to, like, having more options open or mm-hmm. just whatever the case is. And I know as a setter, it's easier to deal with hitters who want to be more approachable and, like, be able to, like, work with me.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's, like, what people do really look forward to by having a good teammate is having someone who you can be able to sit down and have a conversation with and be like, hey, this isn't working out. I want to switch things around. And then they don't take it personally.
Yeah, because if you take things personally, it's not going to work because nothing is personal. It just, unless you take it personally.
Mm-hmm. And that's just something that we talk about, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that we've had some stuff go down this season. Like, for example, me and our other setter, we talked about a few times about, like, hey, we don't want y'all taking things personally, especially, like, telling us to our hitters, like, if we don't set you, you cannot be taking it personal because
it's for a reason.
It's for a reason. And I think that another thing about being a good teammate is having trust in your fellow teammates.
Yeah.
Because then that means that you're not going to take things personal. So, like, say if I'm not setting you as much, mm-hmm. you could be like, hey, why are you not setting me? I'm going to be like, we got a big block up on the other side, so I'm going to need to get away from you for a while. Maybe yeah. we can still...
And even if we have the big block, as a middle, I still need to be running mm-hmm. those routes or those...
And that is the thing, because maybe you can...
pull the block away.
Yeah, and you can, like, fake someone out, and then yeah. that's the stuff about having good volleyball IQ.
Yeah.
Again, it's another good yeah. thing about being
on a team.
Yeah, and it'll help you grow in your career, especially if having, like, a good IQ in any sport that you play. That's what's really going to make you, number one, just be better for your team.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, make you grow more.
Yeah.
And just, like...
because you know more about the game, mm-hmm. and you're able, especially, even if you're... Okay, so I was just at the University of Florida for the specialty positions camp, and I got to work with some amazing girls. Mind you, I'm 13 years old. I was working with 16, 17 year olds, and they're getting looked at by colleges and whatever. And I think I have a pretty good volleyball IQ. I'm able to... take in what the coaches are saying. I'm able to apply it to my game. I'm able to set up the drills, and I know what they're talking about because of the volleyball IQ. And it makes the people around me that already know, because they're more experienced, they're like, oh, I can trust this girl. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing. She may be younger, but she also has an understanding of the game, and I want to play with her.
Yeah, and I think having a good IQ of your sport and knowing the game makes it easier to transition whenever you do need to play with new people.
Yeah, because just being an open person with an open mindset, when you walk into new circumstances or new areas, it'll just help you be an overall better person, and... It may be nerve-wracking. Like, it is really scary going into a camp or tryouts, even if you're going to a new school, a new club, and there's people there that are just so good, so intimidating. But for you to walk in with an open mindset and a good attitude, it'll just make things so much better. Mm-hmm. More people will like you.
Yeah.
No matter, not even just your volleyball skills. With that positive attitude, you will have a better chance of being on a good team and just having more friends.
Yeah, and that can, you know, lead to other aspects outside of your sport. But I will, like, agree with you on having an open mind. I think especially... like, your teammates see, like, how you react when you take criticism from your coach, and that can make them put an image in their mind, like, what they think about you.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, what your, like, conversations with your coach and the relationship that you have with your coach can alter, like,
your how future. You're...
can alter your future, first off, and can definitely alter how your teammates, how your coach... like, how people perceive you. And I think if you are being open-minded and you're able to accept criticism and be coachable and change the things that you need to change, being coachable isn't just coming from a coach. Like, it can come from a teammate, and being mm-hmm. coachable from a teammate could be coming from, like, literally anyone. Like, the point of being coachable is that you can listen and apply.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So... and I think if you're coachable, it definitely does make you stand out. And I think the best thing about being a good teammate and just being a good player overall is being able to stand out in a crowd.
Yeah.
And that's why whenever you go to tryouts, you want to be able to make sure that you're standing out. And mm-hmm. that means, because coaches, they don't just look for talent. They look for, is this person a good teammate? Will she be... like,
will she succeed with the other girls that are already on the team?
Yes. And that's definitely something that, because, you know, like... I think especially at our club, they look to find the team that will mesh well the best
mm-hmm.
and that will work well together.
Yes.
And I think that the only way they can do that is if they find girls who are able to stand out at tryouts and are able to work well. Maybe if you don't have the best relationship with someone on this team,
you don't let it get involved in your game.
You can't let it get involved because that is just off the court stuff. Everything that is on the court is supposed to be court.
Also, Kenzie, how do you think, how can you be a good team off the court? We've been talking on the court, so how about off the court?
I think something that is really helpful for, especially if you are joining a new team or if your team is new, I think a great thing to do is to do team bonding. I know that not a lot of people like this, and I know that it's like sometimes can be a bit awkward at first, but team bonding is definitely something that will help you grow relations with your teammates.
Learn about each other.
You get to learn about each other, which builds yet again more trust, and you can be, because it's always great to be friends with your teammates.
Yeah,
and I think that definitely, because we've only known each other
a year,
and we definitely got super duper close. And I think a reason why it started was at my birthday, because I did team bonding for my birthday.
You texted me. I was like, I didn't know who it was because I played up two seasons ago, so I was on 13s twice, and so Kenzie texted me, I didn't know who it was, and she was like, hey, come to my birthday, and I was like, okay, so I mean, I came, I was like, I don't know where I am, who I'm with, but I came, and I think we got super close at first. I was like, okay, Kenzie talks a lot.
Oh my god, that's something that everyone does not like about me, is that I talk too much.
But then I got more comfortable and I started talking a lot.
Yeah.
And it just really worked out for us. And
I think something that's really good about having good relationships with your teammate is, like, especially during team bonding, going to talk to someone who is nothing like you at all. I think that is the best thing to do, because I think something that I, like, specifically remember from at my birthday party is that I was friends with one of our teammates, Becca, like, prior to, like, our past season, but she's a very quiet, shy, introverted person.
We love Becca.
But she's a very neutral girly, and I just, like, I remember we were just, like, all hanging out at the pool, and she's kind of, like, in our little corner, like, having her Becca moment, and I love that for her.
Yeah.
But, like, just going up to her and, like, just stating everything that's off my mind and having a conversation like that, first off, it gets you to open up to the person that you're talking to.
Yeah.
And it gets you to, like, have more of, like, experiences with each other and bond more and be friends and stuff like that. And yeah, you can, I think it's better to come off with a lot of energy than coming off with, like, zero energy.
Because when you're on a team, I mean, I feel like that's different. Like, if you're out and about at school and you come off with a bunch of energy, then, yeah, it could scare the person away. But if you're on a team and you come up and you're first meeting them with a bunch of energy, you know that that person will apply it to the court. And, it just helps overall, like, just being a good person.
I think, being a good person off the court, and I think developing relationships with your teammates and being friends with them is always going to be a plus.
But you don't always have to like
each
other.
But
you just have to work together.
Of course, friends get into arguments.
Yeah.
And, you know, people's personalities do clash, and some people just naturally don't get along with each other.
Yeah.
But it's the fact of being mature enough to overcome that and to just be like, hey, I know we don't like each other, but on the court, we need to pretend like we're best friends.
Yeah.
Because I know so many coaches, I remember specifically Julie telling us that, because on the 12s team, she came over us one practice. She's like, I don't care if you guys all hate each other. You need to act like you're best friends on the court.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't work together when there is a chip on the shoulder, when there's side eyes. When there is side eyes on the court, it will never, ever, ever work. Because you feel them. You feel the side eyes.
And it's not, it's like, even, because we've had a situation this past season, but, like, even the people who the side eyes are not directed towards, you can still feel the bad energy coming off of those people. Like, and it does not, it does not help the team. Like, even if you don't say anything, even if you do say anything, no matter what you do, that is still not going to be a good situation for your team.
Like, I mean, personally, I wasn't the person getting the side eyes. I was just the big, happy middle.
I was a person getting the side eyes directed to.
And me and Kenzie, we were the best friends on the team. Mm. And so whenever she was talking, I mean, yes, I was listening to her, but I was also, because I know you've talked to me before, you're like, nobody's listening to me. And I'm trying to say something, but nobody's listening to me. And that, if you listen to your teammates, then that's also, you're being a really good teammate.
Yeah, it's also a plus. Especially whenever it's a teammate, especially if it's a setter, you need to listen to your setter. So I'm not saying this only because I am a setter, but I'm saying it from freaking experience. You need to listen to your setters because they have, first off, the knowledge, because if you're a setter, then that means that the coach has to put trust in you to be able to know what you're doing.
Because the coach, I feel like the coach usually feeds more info to the setters
because they're telling the setter what needs to go on in the court. Like, the setter's, like, the freaking quarterback.
How are you running your offense?
Like, she runs the offense. So, you need to... Yeah. So, your teammates need to put trust in your setters. And if you don't have trust in your setter, and if you don't think that she can, like, really
run
it... You're never really going to connect. And then also, like, if you're in huddles and your setter is telling you what to do, and if you're just, like, giving side eyes and not paying attention, you're not... Like, it's not just because you don't like her. You're hurting the team. Like, you're hurting... Because the setters only want to do what's best for the team. Oh, it's most definitely a domino effect. And I think... I mean, like, I know that I only have good intentions whenever I'm trying to tell people what needs to happen.
Yeah, and you don't say it in a rude...
And I don't mean to be bossy at all. I don't mean to be... I'm not trying to be controlling. I'm letting you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally just delivering information that I see.
Leading the team...
And as a setter, you should definitely be, like, a leader. Like, that's something that a setter should be. That's, the qualifications to be a setter is to be a leader on the court. And I think especially because for this season, you know, I'm the oldest on the team. Mm-hmm. And which is something that I'm not really saying. But yeah. I'm the oldest on the team. I'm a setter. I've been setting for, 4 years now? And... You know, I have good relations with most of the girls on the team. The ones that I know, I have good relations with.
Yeah.
And it's just something that, like, I think, especially if you are a setter, you need to work on having good leadership skills. Yeah. And that can come from just, like, working on them with your team. It could come from working on it outside of and, like, in school and stuff like that. Like, you just need to make sure that you are, like, the most extroverted person on the court.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. I think, and I think a lot of people can vouch for the statement that I'm about to make, but I am a very excited person. I think I'm one of the biggest cheerleaders that we have on the team. If you go back and watch our film, after anyone gets a kill, I'm jumping up and down for them. After everyone gets a great save, I am going up and, like, giving them a big hug. Like, I think something that's really good for your setter is to be, like, the biggest hype man.
Cheering is definitely, I think, personally... Number one in being a good teammate, because if you are the loudest person on the court, one, it'll attract more people to your court because they're like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, like, recruiters love to come watch teams that are very hyped up.
Yeah, and like, cheering when somebody does something good, cheering all around when you, even if you don't get the point, somebody might have gotten a good save, somebody might have gone a good block, whatever. Just cheering in general brings up people's self-esteem and is like, hey, yeah, I just did that. And like, cheering for yourself is always good too. Like, so
you always want to be yourself's, like, biggest hype man.
Yeah, if you get up and block, don't be like, yeah,
don't play it cool, because you're not cool if you play it cool. You gotta, like, literally over cheer. I think that's something that makes everyone super excited. I remember, like, I don't remember what game it was, but I just remember when we got so hyped up after, it was our last game on, like, second day of AAU, where we were playing that one team where we lost to in the first set, and then we literally just decided, hey, we're going to switch it up and we're going to be positive. Mm-hmm. And John started doing all of his crazy little hand signals.
Oh my gosh, that was so fun.
And we got so hyped and we literally won this set just off of being loud. And being super duper like extroverted.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you start playing better whenever you start getting crazy. Like, I'm not joking. Like,
not my, crazy to where you are not like being immature on the court,
and not
crazy.
Chaotic, but like crazy in the fact that like you are super focused and dilated in, and you are going to be so like you're going to put 100% of your effort in, and you're also just going to be like the most positive person there.
Yeah, for sure. And I just being on a team, it's just you have to be like a team person. You can't do it on your own.
A team is not meant for you if you think that it's only gonna, you're only gonna get the wins
go
by yourself.
Go to swimming or tennis or something. Like,
go play beach. Like,
go play beach with your best friend. Like, if you aren't willing to cooperate, to cheer, to encourage, to support,
that is the biggest thing about being a good teammate.
Yeah.
Being able to cooperate with other people.
Because if you're not willing to do that, then don't be.
Sometimes that means you need to be wrong. And I think that's like,
you have to be okay, like, to fail.
You have to be okay to fail. You have to be okay to be wrong. You have to be okay to be like a lot of things.
Because
especially,
that's how you learn. If you fail, you are learning. Because it's the reps. Getting those reps in and trying again. Even if you fail, you will get it. You will get it one day. And just, like, just being cooperative and cooperative with your coaches,
I think if you are a person who gives up easily on the court and stuff like that, and you don't put 100% of your effort in all the time, it's going to start to show. And I mean, like, that can hurt yourself in the future. Not only does it, like, it hurts your team in the moment, most definitely, but it does hurt yourself for the future. And if you want to stay on, like, the level of team if you are. Because coaches talk all the time.
Coaches talk so much. And I think the biggest, I mean, okay, yes, I am the big 6'1 middle blocker. But also, I think, I've been at JJVA for the past going on 6 years. And my family has always had a good attitude, has always,
that's a good thing that it contributes to being a good player and being loyal to a club is having a good family.
Yeah, and just, like, being loyal, and we've been here for so long. I am a positive player. There's a lot. My career will hopefully go very far.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
And I think a bunch of people know that, and the coaches knowing that, they are going to talk to each other, because just CJ, Coach CJ, she's a recruiting coordinator at JJVA. She was talking, she talked to Coach Mary Wise at University of Florida about me. Otis talking to CJ about me, and John talking to whoever it is, it'll just help you get so far in your career. And I personally, I think it was nothing but good things, because I don't really,
because John loves us.
John loves us so much. We are his faves. But, like, just coaches talk, and they notice how you play. They notice how you're a teammate. Are you a good or a bad one?
Even in college, that's what college coaches are really looking for. I remember sitting down and talking with the UNF coach. I mean, like, that's a school that I really, like, look into and going into. And I remember having a conversation with her, and I was like, hey, like, what makes a good teammate? Like, what do you look for whenever you are going to recruit girls? And she's like, we're looking for girls who are good teammates, who have good personalities. They look into academics. Are you a good student? Are you a good friend? Like, how, just, like, they look in all aspects of your life, and they just want to make sure that you were, like, most genuinely, like, a good person, you're cooperative, you have a good attitude, because college coaches don't want you having a bad attitude on their court. Like, they're not going to deal with that.
No, and I think watching Florida play, because it was during our like break hour, the Gators were playing, and it was just a scrimmage game, and they were hugging, they were cheering,
they act like they're best
friends. They act like they are best friends. They act like family, and I'm like, I want to be a part of that. And that's how I knew that they are good teammates to each other. They're always working together, and I'm like, one day I really want to be a part of that, because I think it's just so amazing of like just how the whole staff there seems like family. The culture is so amazing. And I think amazing.
Finding a club that like fits your culture and like what you like really stand for is something that's like, I think that's what contributes to like how you want to be seen as a player. And it definitely like dictates a lot of things in your career for sports and whatever. Personally, I've been at JJBA for like 5 years. I think that I like the culture here. I like the staff. It a little bit is because I do know everyone. And I think that's definitely a very helpful thing. Not for being a good teammate necessarily, but for being a good player. It is so important to know people.
Yeah, because that is because to where you are.
Yeah, if you're oblivious to where you are and you don't know people, then how are you supposed to like have good relations with people and like have good relationships with coaches? Like, I mean, like, for example, one of my coaches for high school, I knew him through JJVA.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
there's so many connections. There in the are literally, world.
And
it's
you
ridiculous.
Don't even understand, but everyone is freaking connected.
We were at AAU standing across the net. The other middle blocker, she's like, "Hey, Sadie."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Hey," like, and we're cheering each other on from, I mean, it was a little awky-wacky, but, like, she was like, "Good hit, good block, whatever." Like, just being a good person to whoever you're talking to.
Having good sportsmanship
is a number one key.
Like, speaking of that, like, playing Skyline and stuff, we know a lot of people on their team. I mean, like,
big LOL.
It really is. And I remember going to, because I went to a college camp for them, and
you met a bunch of people.
Like, met a bunch of people, already knew a bunch of people, and it's definitely, like, it's an experience, and I think it's good to go and venture out of your club sometimes. Maybe not to, like, look at other clubs, but just to go see what's going on. Like, I think it's always, like, I think it's a good thing to do, because it's not like you're being disloyal, but you are, in a way that's not trying to be selfish, you want to do what's going to be the best coaching for you.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to make you succeed most in life. And personally, I think that I get my best coaching at JJVA because that's what works for me.
Yeah.
But, like, because I did get an offer to go to Skyline. They did offer me the 15 Royal position, which we've already talked.
No way.
They offered me a spot 15 on 15 Royal.
That's so awesome.
But I decided to tell Coach Wendy, politely turned her down. I was like, "Hey, like, thank you so much for offering."
Yeah.
But I really like my coaches, and I really like working at JJBA. And, you know, I think whenever you're polite about that, and because it's good to go and see what other places have to offer, and I don't think any coach at your club is going to think that you're, like, a traitor for wanting to go see what's going on.
Backstabber.
Like, no one's going to think that you're a backstabber if you want to keep your options open. But I also think that a good thing is,
you're not being sneaky about it.
This is getting off topic, and this is getting too personal. Yeah, but, like, but it's true.
It's
like,
very true. Much needed to say. Just be open. Be an open person. Like, don't hide things that aren't meant to be hidden. And I think it'll just get you very far. Our main points: be supportive, cooperative, kind, be a good person.
Just overall, be a good person and be a good teammate. Yeah. And make sure that you are super extroverted on the court. Make sure that you come with a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Just be good. That's really it. Just be a good person. Because being a good person,
keep smiling,
like, equivalents to being a good teammate. Yeah. They definitely go hand in hand.
Yep. So I think that's
Are we good?
I think we're good.
Okay.
That just really really broke down.
Oh,
we could
definitely go into more stuff. But that's just being a good teammate.
we'll definitely
talk more about volleyball and stuff
in our next episodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to turn into a volleyball podcast.
Yes, most definitely. Okay. Bye, guys. Bye.